So, but Discovery Clubs and Youth resume 6:30 on Wednesday evening, all right? And then we've been encouraging you to download the RSC app. And so my wife said I didn't do a good. And so we'll be posting those emphasis. Today is lost to found, and then it goes from hate to hope, sickness to health, from brokenness to restoration, from apathy to action, from empty to filled, and from doubt to faith. All right, and then we'll be back for next Sunday. So we know that 2020 was a challenging year, right? And, you know, some people said, you know, they're just glad to see it go. But I, you know, in reality, yes, there was a lot of challenges with 2020. But there was also some good things that happened. And so we don't want to just sweep those under the rug as well, right? There were some exciting things that happened. So, but we also know that it has many, many challenges. So, and we are not done with the COVID thing. The vaccines are coming out. I think things will begin to improve, but we just don't know what 2021 holds, do we? God does, we don't. So, neither did the Israelites as they went into the promised land, okay? And so the word to them was to be strong and courageous. And that's just kind of a word that maybe I sense as we enter into this year, to be strong and courageous. How can we do that? How can we do that after the year that we've just gone through? How can we go into this year without a little bit of hesitation, without a little bit of, I don't know what's going to happen, right? Doubt, and maybe even some fear, right? We talked about fear last week, and that seemed like that kind of connected with a lot of you. A lot of you just shared that kind of hit home last week. So I want us to look at Ephesians chapter 6. A lot of us know this passage as the armor of God, right? And this passage has just been kind of on my heart. Even when I heard that John was going into ICU a week ago, that was kind of just a passage that kind of just went into my heart to be strong in the Lord. And how can we do that? Just a little bit of background about Ephesus, okay? So Ephesians is a letter that was written to the believers in Ephesus. So if you look at the back of your Bible, you know, the electronic versions of the Bible are nice, but sometimes they don't have all the maps and things like that. So if you have a hard copy of Scripture, if you go to the back of your Bible, you have maps there. And one of the maps that they always usually include is one of Paul's missionary journeys, all right? And you're going to see that he goes on three journeys after his conversion. And after a time of discipleship of like 11 years, he goes on some missionary journeys. He's sent out by the church in Antioch. And the first one is a fairly short trip, okay? And then the second one, he'd go into modern-day Asia and Macedonia, Athens, Greece, and that area. So modern-day Asia would be what country today? Turkey, yes. And so Ephesus is located in Turkey. It's just ruins right now. You can go there on exploration trips and things like that. But the city was destroyed at one point and has not been rebuilt. But Ephesus was a commerce town. It was kind of like a hub, as well as Corinth. Okay, and so they were commerce places where people would come. And we have those type of cities today, right? New York City would be that way, and Los Angeles. Maybe Chicago, Minneapolis. Kansas City. They're hubs where people come and they travel through. They come for business and whatever, maybe to go on vacation or whatever. Ephesus was like that, all right? Ephesus was known for its idolatry. It was very heathen in that way. They had some horrible idols that they would exalt, and they had a lot of sexual overtones, okay? And so it was known for its sexuality. It was not known to be a place where you would find God, all right? It was religious, but not in the right ways. All right? You follow me on that? And so Ephesus would be one of the places that Paul would go on his second missionary journey. And he would see a lot of people come to know Christ. In fact, Ephesus was so transformed by the gospel, this heathen town. I mean, sometimes we think, yeah, it's just not a religious place. Well, that was Ephesus. But God so transformed that community that the silversmiths that made the idols were almost put out. They were threatened to be put out of business because nobody was buying idols anymore. In fact, they took their scrolls, their sorcerer's scrolls, and they burned them in the street. And you'll find this in Acts chapter 19. You find that account there in Acts 19. and they burned those scrolls in the street, and they were worth 135 years' wages. So an average income today, I think, is right around $42,000, $45,000. That's over $3.5 million that they just burned up in smoke. It was gone. All right, pretty incredible. And it really upset the idol makers because their business was going under, and so they would persecute Paul. They'd try to throw him in prison. He was physically harmed, and he would say, you know what, the silversmith, he gives his name, caused me a lot of harm from Ephesus. So even though God did a lot of powerful things in Ephesus and transformed that community, that city, in a powerful way, and a lot of people came to know Christ, it was not without an opposition. It was not without spiritual warfare, and Paul felt that. And now he's writing to the believers in Ephesus, and where is he writing the letter from? He's writing it from prison, right? So there's four letters he would write from prison. They're called the prison epistles. He's writing this from prison. He's there because of his faith, and he's writing these believers in Ephesus. And I think it's in Ephesus alone that he records this part on the armor of God. And I think it's on the backdrop of the opposition he faced in Ephesus and the spiritual warfare that he did encounter there. And he has the scars to prove it, okay? Literally. He has the scars to prove on his body of the battle that comes with taking the gospel to those that don't know. And that's what God called Paul to do. So at this point in ministry, Paul is seasoned. He has successes, but he also has some trials that God took him through in this journey, including him being in prison as he writes this. So Paul's message is not to run, to not be fearful. You know, we come into 2021. Some of you just say, hey, I want to turn around and go the other way, right? All right? It isn't to run. It's not to be fearful, but it's to be strong. And that's what I think we need to begin this year with that word, that to be strong and courageous. So how can we stand in the midst of adversity? How can we stand strong in the midst of uncertainty? And how can we be confident as we go into a new year? You hear me? All right. So the points are in there. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for your word. It is powerful. It is sharp. It is able to penetrate our hearts. It is able to speak to us, Lord God, a word that we need to hear at this very moment. It is more than just words on a page. It is the living word of God. And Father, we come to you this morning praying that you would open up our hearts and our eyes to hear and to hear the word that you want to say to us this morning, to help us to live victoriously for you, to be confident, to be strong, Lord God. Speak that into us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through verse 20. Paul says, finally be strong in the Lord. So you can underline that, highlight that, whatever you need to do to make that pop out of the page. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So it's not a strength that just comes from within us. It is a power that comes from God. Put on the full armor of God. In fact, that word to be strong, it's imperative. Okay, so an imperative, when we're talking about imperative phrases in the English, it means it's more of a command. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. Okay, saying, hey, get up, be strong. Okay, can you hear a military general saying that to his troops? That's what God is saying to us. That's what Paul is saying to us. He's saying, hey, be strong in the Lord. We're ready to go to battle here. We need to be strong, okay? And in his mighty power. So that means it's power and strength we receive through the Holy Spirit. It provides confidence and boldness to share Christ in our world and to live out our faith in a hostile world, okay? So fear will paralyze us, but God's mighty power gives us the strength to do what God has called us to do. All right? Put on the full armor of God. There again, that's an imperative, so it's not a suggestion. It's saying, hey, put it on. So that you may be able to take your stand. Stand is repeated over and over again. So that's the title of the message. Maybe highlight that. Just how many times? Stand against the devil's schemes. You know, the devil is, he's tricky. He's schemy. I had one person that they used to worship with us, and he went through a very difficult time, actually served some jail time, and he said, you know what, he goes, The devil is very sneaky. He allowed some temptation to come in there, and he knew better, but it crept in there. He's sneaky, folks. We have to put on our armor. For our struggle is not against what? Flesh and blood. It's so easy to think that it's, for Paul it was like it's the silversmith that is taking his attacks on me. It's so easy to think it's people and not understand the spiritual battle that is taking place in the heavenlies. But it's against rulers, against authorities, against powers in this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, and it will come, that you may be able to stand your ground. There again, stand. And after you've done everything to stand. Getting the idea there? Verse 14. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, in all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I may fearlessly. That's a pretty important word there, fearlessly. It means to be bold, to be courageous in our words. Okay, make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly again, as I should. Amen. So what can we take away from what Paul is saying here? And I've preached on this many different times. I like that word, fearlessly. It's the Greek word parousia. You don't have to know that. But it is just a very common word that is used throughout the book of Acts and the New Testament letters. I used it in my dissertation because it really is, it means to be confident or to be bold in your conversation, in your speech, in sharing Christ with others. All right? And most people are not real strong in that. That's why God has given us His Holy Spirit, because it is a boldness, a confidence, a courage that comes to share Christ with those that don't know. And that's what the disciples had to do. They were witnesses. They had witnessed what Jesus had done. But it had been easy for them to keep that inside because they crucified Christ, and now they were coming after them. They wanted to squash this movement. And so for them to be bold, to be courageous, to be confident about their witness means it could have been persecution, and it was at times. It was at times. But God gave them a boldness, a confidence to fearlessly proclaim the gospel. All right? So what can we take away from this? Based upon Paul's teaching to the Ephesians, how can we be confident, bold, and stand firm? First of all, so we go to our points here, be prepared. Be prepared. The day of evil will come. Okay? It's going to come. It's like your car is going to break down, so save up for it, okay? Cars break down. Things happen. The day of evil will come. It's not a matter of if, it will. You have to be prepared. Just as when we have our military people are trained, and they're trained and trained. Why? Because the day of evil will come. We don't know when it is or when it's going to happen, but it will come. You have to be prepared. And as Christians, sometimes we come to know Christ, and we think, you know, my life is better. There's that excitement and joy, and all of a sudden, man, all of a sudden we get hit by that first attack from Satan, and we're kind of knocked off of our feet, and we go, what just happened? I thought I knew Jesus, and I thought everything was going to be hunky-dory, and now I just got knocked on my, right? Get the wind knocked. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. We have to be prepared. Paul says, put on the full armor of God. It's not an option. It's imperative that we do that, that we go into battle every day with our armor on. You know, for a soldier to go into battle without his armor on would just be kind of like, well, that'd be a no-brainer, right? Arrows flying, you're in the battle there. You're setting yourself up to be killed or to be harmed. That's a no-brainer. But often we get up and we rush into our day and we haven't taken time to meet with God, to get our spirit right, to be prepared. And some days go off just, you know, great. You know, there's good days, all right? But there's some days, man, you just you get going. It's kind of like, man, I need to start this day over, right? Right? And I don't know what makes the difference. All I know is that if we have God as that first thing in the morning through his word and through prayer, it's going to help us to navigate that. It doesn't mean that our day is going to go perfect. What it does mean is that we have our armor on and we're prepared. Amen? Now, if you watch The Lord of the Rings, how many like those movies? It's been a few years since. Now, you have to realize that is the backdrop comes, a lot of that storyline comes from the scripture, right? Tolkien, he writes that. And so you see the forces of good, right? And then you have the forces of evil, and right? And that depicts Satan's enemy, right? It depicts Satan. And the thing about it is some of those evil creatures are just very evil, right? They look evil. I mean, they are evil. And what we have to realize is that Satan is, when he attacks, he's not going to show you any mercy or grace or compassion. If he has an opportunity to take you out, he will. There's no mercy or grace. There isn't, folks. God is grace. He's merciful. He's compassionate. Satan is not. And if he can take you down, he is not going to show you any mercy. He's going to take you out for the count. We have to put on the armor of God. So what is the armor of God? I'm not going to take a long time on this. We could just take this in a Bible study. But first of all, we have to have the belt of truth. So the belt of truth, so the girdle or the belt was important for the armor because it held the breastplate in place, and then it also had your sword hung on there, okay? But it kind of kept everything in place, and that's what truth does to our life. If we don't have truth in our life, nothing is going to be held together. And one of Satan's tactics is, his number one tactic, he's called the father of lies. If you don't know the truth, you don't have any firm foundation, you don't know what to believe, and you're not going to be able to fight the devil. When Jesus is tempted in the wilderness, Luke chapter 4, it's also found in Matthew, Satan quotes scripture, doesn't he? But he twists it. So if you don't know the truth of God's word and you know it well, Satan can even use scripture on you and twist it to deceive you. You have to know the truth. When we know the truth of God's word and get into his word, you know, it's great you're here on a Sunday morning, we're studying the word of God, but that is not a substitute for you digging into the word of God and finding it for yourself. Because I can guarantee you, you're going to learn a lot more by digging it into it yourself. Okay, and you're gonna get into God's word and you're gonna say, oh, what does that mean? So you're gonna do the work. And when you do the work, that's when you are going to, it's gonna take a lot of meeting to you. And you're not gonna forget it then, because you have discovered it for yourself. You know, I hope you like my speaking, but most of the times you won't remember what I said maybe 2, 3, 4 hours, maybe next Sunday. If I was asking you to do my points, a lot of times you won't remember them. You'll have to go, oh, yeah, that's what it was, right? If you do the work, you're going to remember it because it's personal to you, because you've done the work, all right? Belt of truth. We have to know that truth holds everything together. The breastplate of righteousness. So the breastplate, that protects the vitals, folks. You can get a wound in your leg and other places, and you'll survive it. You take a hit to your chest. That's where your lungs, your heart, all your vitals are there. It's hard to survive that. God's righteousness protects our heart. And it's his righteousness. It's not our righteousness, folks, because our righteousness is as filthy rags, right? We stand in his righteousness. He extends his righteousness towards us, to us. And so God's righteousness is a shield. It's a breastplate for us. So when Satan comes and says, hey, you're no good. You know what? You remember when you failed God back then, yesterday or a week ago or whenever it was, 30 seconds ago? Remember when you had that bad thought or you lied or you cheated? He reminds you of your past. You just have to remind him of his future, okay? All right? The breastplate, God's righteousness, it protects our heart because Romans 8 says, even though Satan tries to condemn us, there is no condemnation in Christ. And God protects our hearts from condemnation, God's righteousness. When we come to God, we're not standing in our own righteousness. We're not a holier than thou and saying, man, I'm righteous, I'm pure. We're coming before God knowing that is in his righteousness. He's the one that died on the cross for my sins. So I can confidently come before God, not because of anything good that I've done, but because of Christ. Is that making sense? Because of Christ, I can confidently and boldly come before him and stand in confidence because of him. And I'm not condemned because he died on the cross for my sins. Amen? The breastplate. Boots. We need the gospel shoes of peace, right? Roman soldiers had an advantage because their boots, their shoes had kind of modern day cleats on them. They had traction on them. You know, you think about that. You're in the heat of battle and how important traction was. Just think if you slipped and fell, your enemy would just run you through, right? But if you were able to hold your ground and stand, even in, you know, not ideal conditions, you had that traction, it made all the difference. And so Roman soldiers had that advantage. Their boots had that extra traction on them. And that's what God wants to do, the gospel of peace. Just think about when we can stand in God's peace. Peace with God, right? When he comes into our heart, he gives us peace. But if your heart's not at peace, you're not going to be able to stand when the adversity comes. You're going to be shaken. You're going to be running away. But when you have peace, even in the midst of the storm, in the midst of chaos, even in the midst of COVID, you can stand your ground. And you can stand confidently because you're standing in God's peace. It's not from yourself. It is from God. He is able to give us the peace that surpasses all understanding. Philippians 4, you can read through that later this afternoon. You can write that down. The gospel of peace. The shield of faith, right? You had to have that shield because it protected you against those arrows, those flaming arrows. And a lot of shields were made out of wood, and then they were lined with leather. And before they would go into battle, they would do what? They'd soak them in water. Why? Because when the flaming arrows came, they would stick into that shield and the wet leather would put out the fire. It would extinguish it. So it talks about extinguishing the flaming arrows. You know, that's what the shield of faith does in our own life. The arrows may be coming, but we raise up that faith and it says, you know what? Those attacks are not going to come. Right? They're going to stick into that shield of faith and they're not going to penetrate my heart or my life. We have to have that faith. You know, and there's difficult times where God really has to give us that gift of faith, even in the when it doesn't make sense with what we are seeing in front of us. It doesn't make sense, right? God has to give us that gift of faith. Helmet of salvation, right? That's just an important piece of equipment to protect your head. We know that you can't live without your head, right? And, you know, that's where our mind is. Our salvation. You have to know that you are saved without a shadow of a doubt. When you know that you are saved, because there's days you're going to wake up and think, man, am I saved? I just had kind of a rotten thought. I just had a rotten motive. I was tempted. Man, I didn't know I could be tempted by that. And you're going to say, man, am I saved? Did I just really say that word? All right? We have to know that we are saved. And that God's in our heart. And you can know that. It says if we confess him as our Lord and our Savior and believe in our heart, we are saved. And there's going to be moments where we may not feel like it, but we hold on by faith. We hold on by faith and we trust God. We stand in his grace and his mercy. Amen? And the sword of the Spirit, you know, which is the Word of God. That's the only piece of armor that is defensive, but also offensive, isn't it? All the rest of it is for defense, to protect you. The sword could be used for defense, but it also could be used to attack. And when Jesus is tempted, Satan gives him those lies, you know, he twists scripture. But every time Jesus confronts Satan again with scripture, the word of God, he says, you know what? Yes, this is what it says, but this is what God says. Man shall not live by bread alone. Right? And so every time he answers Satan with truth, with the word of God. And we have to know the truth. We have to get the word of God into our heart and our life. And I don't care if you're a new Christian. I don't care if you've walked with God. You have to get the word of God into your life. And you can't just kind of coast. I've been walking with God since I was 5. But if I'm not in the word of God daily, I forget it. I have to live in God's word. I have to be reminded of his truth day after day and let it change and transform me, because I have to stand in his truth. Amen? The day of evil will come. I don't want to be a little bit ominous about that, but folks, that's the truth. As a believer in Christ, you're on Satan's radar. He wants to take you out. He wants to take you out. If you're walking the ways of the world, you're not on his radar as much. He has you. But if you're walking with God, you're on his radar. You have to be prepared, because the day of evil will come. Amen? All right. Secondly, to be confident, bold, and stand firm, we must be strategic. Strategic. There we go. Know who you are fighting and his tactics. Now, Satan, I think sometimes we give him a little more power than we should be. Why? We sometimes think him and Jesus are equals. They are not equals. They are not equal by a long ways. Jesus is all-powerful. He's all-knowing. Okay? He knows all things. He can do all things. Omnipresent. He can be everywhere at once. God's Spirit is with us. Satan, no. He doesn't know your thoughts unless you express them. Did you know that? He's not all-knowing. He cannot be every place at once. So if he's attacking you, he's not attacking anybody else. So if he actually attacks you, you must really be on his radar, all right? He has a lot of demons, though, that are at his disposal. He's not all-powerful. He has powerful, though. He has power. And he must be taken seriously, because he is a foe that we must respect, all right? His main weapons are lies, deception, fear. That's one of his favorite. Greed, fame, pleasure. All those things can be his weapons. Those are arrows in his quiver, and he's going to fire them at you. You have to be ready for them and know when they are coming. We must be wise so that his tactics don't get to us. We must fight smart. Sometimes we want to fight harder, but sometimes we have to fight smarter. Right? And we have to know how he's doing that. We are not fighting people. I think that's so easy to do. We think we're fighting people. Sometimes it can even come from the people that we love or that are close to us. We're not fighting people. We're fighting other things, folks. So the first thing we should do is pray and to seek God and get in his word. One of the shows that our kids kind of grew up on was called the Bible Man Show. Anybody remember that? That was way back when. The Bible Man. So the Bible Man, he had kind of the superhero suit on, and he would come in, and, you know, it just kind of lived out in kid form, animation. I mean, there was real people with costumes on, but they kind of lived out just the attacks that would come, and often Bible Man would be taken off guard, or other people would be taken off guard by lies or deception or whatever, but Bible Man always came in with the truth. But even Bible Man at times taken back because he didn't stand enough in God's truth. And it just kind of lived out how we are to live our life. So before you lash out at a coworker, friend, or a loved one that is attacking you, pray. Fight the battle there first. Amen? Don't waste your time on fighting people. That's what Paul learned that. And so when he's writing this letter, there's a lot of experience that he has under his belt. And he learned, I believe, in Ephesus what spiritual warfare and how to fight the enemy of Satan and those spiritual battles. And he learned to fight them on his knees. And that's why he says, put on the full armor of God. Amen. I remember working, this was between my freshman and sophomore year of college. I worked up in Fairbanks, Alaska. I was working on an Air Force base there. And we were doing drywall work, okay? And it was after the first year that I met Amy, and I actually was writing Amy, and she that summer she says, hey, my mom and dad said I can date. And so anyway, but we corresponded. It's very beautiful in Fairbanks in the summertime. But we were doing this drywall work, and my dad and I were working with some friends, and they got this contract to do the drywall on the base, but most of the workers there were union workers, okay? And we were non-union. We just got brought in and to get the job done. Well, they didn't really want us there, right? And it became very evident. They were kind of mean towards us, the the Union people were, and it was easy to take that personal. And I remember it was out of my control, right? Here I was, you know, I wasn't in control. I was just working, right? But I was being attacked because of things beyond me. But I remember going to God in prayer that it was like on a Friday, and we came back on a Monday, and things had totally changed. The atmosphere had totally changed. I had done nothing other than pray, but God had to reverse the atmosphere there and the climate there, and they were a lot more favorable towards us. The only thing I can attribute it to was to prayer. We fought that battle on our knees, and God provided. Amen? Number three, if we're going to be strong, confident, courageous, we must be prayerful. Paul calls us to be prayerful. That is found in verses 18 and 19. He says, pray in the Spirit, all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for the Lord's people. Pray also for me. So he uses pray, and then right at verse 20 there, pray that I also may declare it fearlessly. So prayer takes on many different forms, right? We can pray. Sometimes our prayers are praise and worship. We thank God, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, right? That's what Psalms 100 says. But there's also petitions. So petitions, when I bring my request before God. Hebrews says we are to come boldly and confidently before the throne of grace that we may find help in our time of need. That means sometimes we think, oh, I don't want to bother God with that. You know, doesn't he have bigger, better things to deal with, my requests? God wants us to come boldly and confidently before him to make our requests known, our petitions known, okay? That is to make our requests known. Then there's intercession. Intercession is a little bit different because I'm not praying for me, I'm praying for somebody else, right? So we prayed for John this morning. We are interceding on his behalf. We're fighting with him, folks. We're interceding for him, amen? We can pray scripture. At times, maybe that's the best thing. We just go to God's Word, and some of the passages of Scripture are prayers in themselves, and we can just go to Scripture, and we can pray them. Especially prayer is a blessing. I love those. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he have his face and shine upon you. You can just pray that over people, over your family, or the people that you love. You can pray Scripture. You can pray in the Spirit. So most of these prayers are what I call active prayers. In other words, I'm thinking the words in my mind. I'm actively praying. When we pray in the Spirit, we're allowing the Holy Spirit to provide the words. And sometimes those may be English words. Sometimes they may be in the Spirit. So tongues, okay, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the gifts of the Spirit. Tongues is part of the Holy Spirit, okay, saying, hey, I'm filled with the Spirit, but it's also a gift of the Spirit, where the Spirit is praying through us. It's for our edification, but Paul says, I pray in the Spirit more than you all, right? All right? In Romans 8, he says to pray in the Spirit. I think that's what he's meaning. And in that situation, we are praying passively. What do I mean by that? Passively, I'm letting the Spirit pray through me. So I'm not coming up with the words, the Spirit is. And so the Spirit is guiding and directing me. He is providing the words, the thoughts, and how I should pray. So I take more of a passive role when I pray in the Spirit. You ever had times where you don't know what to pray? Yeah. You're put in a situation and you don't know what to pray. That's where you can say, God, pray through me by your Spirit. Because he knows how to pray through us. Amen? Those are ways that we can pray. Paul says, pray for me. And he says all kinds of prayers. Pray in the Spirit. You know, you can have your devotional time in the morning or in the evening, and that is great to be praying, but did you know you can pray at work? And you can even pray in schools, right? I mean, you don't have to be praying publicly and openly, but you can be praying when you're at your desk. You can be praying when you're at your even when you're talking to a customer or doing things, interacting with people at Walmart. You can be praying. I even pray with people at Walmart, you know? If they say, hey, I'm going through this, you know, often we say, hey, I'm going to pray for you, right? And then we go off and do our own thing, right? We forget to pray for them. So somebody brings up a request, whether it's on the street, whether it is in Walmart, wherever it may be, just stop and pray with them, right? I mean, make sure they're okay with it, but pray with them. Pray wherever you're at. Maybe get some other people to join in with you. Amen? We were in the parking lot. I had to pick up a new pair of glasses. I dropped them here a week ago, and so I had to get them replaced. And so we were at South Point Mall there, apart, and it was just crazy there. But there was a guy driving around in this BMW sedan, and he had his windows all down, and he had the stereo cranked, and it was a guy preaching. And it was kind of a it was a message of faith and putting your trust in God. And he was just driving around the parking lot. I think he was just letting the message go, man. And he was just letting the message go. That was one way to get the gospel out there. It was probably like people just needed to hear that. Amen? All right. Number four, be alert. Paul says in that verse 18, be alert. All kinds of prayers, but be alert. Living in a nation like ours, we can become a little bit complacent. And, you know, a term that was probably not around 20 years ago is active shooter. Today, that's just become part of our vocabulary, an active shooter situation, right? And in our nation, we've kind of, you're always having to kind of always be alert, right? Now, an example of not being alert is walking in a public place with your earbuds in that are noise canceling. That's just not smart, right? Because you're not aware of your surroundings. And they actually have videos of people that walk into active shooter situations that have your earbuds in. In fact, one lady's walking down the street. She walks into a bank that is being robbed, and I think she's actually even killed. Why? Because she had her earbuds in. She was totally oblivious to what was happening around her. We have to be alert. Just as we, as a nation now, we kind of live that way, we also have to be alert to realize, you know what, Satan can be attacking us when we least expect him. We can be blindsided. So I have a story about this. And I'm going to see. Sometimes one of my classmates is watching, Jolene from North Dakota. I don't see her on today, but she would know who Scott Verwest was. I was a freshman, and Scott Verwest was our fullback, and he was a senior. And he was lined up outside. Usually as a fullback, he's lined up behind the line of scrimmage, but he was lined up, you know, as he was going to go out for a pass. I was defensive end, okay? And I was pretty good at defensive end. I also played offensive guard, but I was pretty good at defensive end. And my job was to come across the line on that edge, hold that edge, not to let a sweep or anything get out there, and just to hold that edge. And I was doing my job. One day in practice, I was doing my job. And I went across the line of scrimmage, and next thing I know it, I'm airborne. Why? Because it was a crack back sweep, all right? And so Scott Verwest came in from that blind side, from the outside there. I had no idea he was there, and I went, right? Knocked the wind out of me. I remembered that one. It's illegal nowadays. You can't do a crack back sweep, right? It's illegal. In fact, I saw one, I think, on New Year's Day. A guy got called for a crack back. It really wasn't that bad, but he got called for it. But I wasn't so alert, but I wasn't paying attention to that guy out there. I thought, well, maybe he's going out for a pass. No, he was coming to take me out. He got chewed out from the coach, too, just because I was a fellow player. He thought, oh, I'm going to pick on this freshman, right? I think he turned out to be a decent guy. I didn't hold it against him. We have to be spiritually alert, because Satan can catch us if we're not on our guard. What does Peter say? 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9. It says, be alert and of sober mind. For your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing. You know some of the same verbiage? Resist him, standing firm in the faith. Because you know that the family of believers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Be alert and sober-minded. Amen. We can be alert by staying in God's Word, by praying, by listening to the voice of the Spirit. We can be in tune to what God is saying. To be strong, to be courageous, and to stand firm. I'm going to have the musicians come. How can we stand in the face of adversity, uncertainty, whatever life can throw at us? We have to be prepared. We have to put on that full armor of God. We have to be strategic. We have to know how Satan attacks us. What are some of the main weapons that he has? We have to be on our guard against those. We have to be prayerful. I know in the busyness of life, it's easy to set aside God's word and prayer and we just jump into life and then all of a sudden then we get blindsided. And we have to be alert. You know, it's just interesting that Paul uses this word stand, stand, stand. It doesn't seem to be very, I don't know, shouldn't it be fight, fight, fight? It's stand. God just wants us to stand our ground, to hold our ground. As we enter this new year, he doesn't want us to run. He doesn't want us to be hesitant. He wants us to be strong and courageous. He wants us to be bold. He wants us to be confident. He wants us to stand in God's truth and to be the church and who he's called us to be. And we can do that. It's not just by giving a pep talk. It's not by just getting me, you guys all riled up. I can do that if you want. But it's as we stand in God's word, as we put on the full armor of God, as we pray and seek his face, we can be strong. We can stand. And just to be able to stand your ground is a powerful thing. Especially when the attacks are coming on, right? You want to run, you want to flee. God says, stand. Stand. Amen? Would you stand with me this morning? I'm going to just close this with a word of prayer for salvation. If you don't know Christ this morning, here or watching online, God loves you. Amen? Our prayer emphasis for today is lost to found. God loves you. At one point, we were all lost. As a five-year-old, I was lost. I didn't have Jesus in my heart, but Jesus came in. He found me. And he's found many of you. You were lost. At whatever stage of life, God found you. He redeemed you. He put his faith and righteousness and his goodness in your heart. And if you don't have that hope this morning, you need to have it. That's part of standing in God's righteousness and salvation. Those are important to know that you are saved, that you're righteous before God. That's important if you're going to fight off God's attacks, because he's going to tell you how bad you are and how you failed, how you've messed up. So if you don't have that knowledge, if you don't have that truth in your heart, you're not going to be able to stand your ground. Amen? You have to know the truth. And then I'm going to just pray for us that we can all just put on that armor of God. Amen. Father, this morning we just come before you. If we don't know you as our Lord and our Savior, Father, you're so faithful. You loved us. You've provided a plan of salvation for all of us. That God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God, this morning, if that's us, Lord God, we just don't have the hope of salvation. We don't know if you would take us home today. If we have that hope, God, we can know today beyond a shadow of a doubt. We can know that we are saved, that we're redeemed, Lord God. We can know. If we confess you as our Lord and we say, God, I accept what you did for me on the cross of Calvary. I know that I'm a sinner, that I've failed you. I haven't lived my life for you, Lord God, but I put my faith in you and I accept your righteousness. I accept your forgiveness, dear God, and help me to stand in your truth. And if we make him the Lord of our life, he'll lead and direct us and watch over us. So if that's our prayer this morning, I believe confidently that God has just come in. He's given you a peace that surpasses all understanding. He's lifted the weight of your sin, the burden you've carried. He set you free, and he's given you hope and a future. And Lord, this morning, for the rest of us, Lord God, I just pray that we can enter into this new year, Lord God, with confidence, with boldness, with courage. Lord God, it's not going to be without its challenges. We don't know what those are going to look like this year, but I do know that you know the future. And I do know that you are walking with us. And you've placed your spirit within us, Lord God. And you've called us, Lord God, to walk in confidence, to walk in boldness, to walk in courage, Lord God, to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And Lord God, I pray that we can stand in that, Lord. When fear creeps in, Lord God, let us get back into your word. When doubt creeps in, Lord God, fill it with your truth and faith, Lord. When the attacks come, Lord, let us that shield of faith be raised high to protect us. Lord God, I just pray that you'd go before us. The day of evil will come. But Lord God, you have not left us. You haven't forsaken us. You've given us the tools that we need to stand, to be victorious, and to live for you. And so, Lord God, be present with your people here today. Help us grow in our faith. Help us to become the mighty warriors that you've called us to be. Help us to become the people of faith you've called us to be, God. Help us to become the people of God, to call us out from where we were to where you see us, Lord God. No, none of us are where we need to be, Lord God, this morning. But Lord, call us to be what you've called us to be. Let us step into where we need to be, Lord God, by faith and by trust in you. We give you the thanks, Lord God. Lord God, this morning we give you our hearts completely to you, Father. Lord, well, God, we don't stand in our own power, our own strength, but in your power that mightily works through us, that is able to equip us to be the people of God. And Lord God, we're so thankful for that. And one day Gideon was working in a wine press, threshing wheat. He was there because the enemies of God and of the Israelites were around. Instead of just threshing the wheat out in the normal place, he was doing it in seclusion and secrecy. But it's there, God, you reached out to him and he said, Gideon, mighty man of valor. Gideon probably looked around and said, where is that man? But it was Gideon. Gideon wasn't strong in his own strength. He was strong as the Spirit of God came upon him, and he was able to lead his people out of bondage, out of oppression, into victory because of God's Spirit working mightily in his life. God, if you can work through a Gideon, you can work through any of us, Lord God. Sometimes we don't believe in ourselves, and God, we need to get a hold of your truth that says that we are loved by you, that we are more than conquerors through Christ, that you love us, that you've forgiven us, that we stand in your righteousness, Lord God. And too often we've believed the lies of Satan. And we have to demolish those strongholds, and we have to know what your word says of us, that we are loved, we are your child, that we are mighty warriors through Christ who gives us strength, that we can be strong and courageous. And Lord God, that you've given us your Holy Spirit to equip us. You haven't forsaken us. You haven't left us as an orphan, Lord God, but you've empowered your people to do a certain task, to lead, love, and connect people to a life-changing relationship with Christ. And so, Lord God, I pray you would go with your people today. Let us go in your strength. Let us go in your power. Let us be courageous and bold and confident and stand. Let us stand. We give you the thanks this day. We ask it in your precious and mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Hey, God bless you this morning. We are going to be starting up some small groups. We'll have some sign-up sheets next week. We need to get back in that rhythm. And then maybe some Bible reading plans. How many could use a Bible reading plan going through that together? Amen. So we'll be sending some stuff out on that. So, hey, God bless you. Greet each other as you leave. And build each other up in the Lord. Amen? Okay, do some of that spurring and sharpening. Iron, as iron sharpens iron, right? All right, it's your job. God bless you.